Mark chapter 3, look at verse number 22. I want you to get the story here. And then Jesus is going to tell a parable. And we're going to use that parable for our message and our lesson this morning. So Mark chapter 3, look at verse number 22. And 27 is the main verse we're going to use, but we're going to read through it from starting at verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, "He hath Beelzebub." Now the name Beelzebub was the name for a demon or a devil, right? So they said, "He hath the devil." He's got the devil, and that's why he's doing. He's got demons, whatever it is. That's why he is able to do all this supernatural work. But continue reading it. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, "He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan?" It's not in there, but I would have put "duh" right at the end of that one. All right. How can Satan cast out Satan? Duh. All right. What are you guys thinking? And then he goes on, verse 24, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end." So you see what's going on here. They're accusing of Jesus of casting out devils by the power of the devil. And Jesus says, why in the world would he do that? Satan's not going to cast out Satan. A house divided against itself can't stand. A kingdom that's divided against itself can't stand. That is not why I came, and that's not the power that I came in. And then he gives us this parable in verse number 27. It's a story. A parable is a story, an earthly story that teaches a heavenly lesson, a spiritual lesson. So I want to take the story that he's going to tell us here in just a moment and apply it to our families, to our lives, and I hope that it'll be helpful to you as we're preaching through the book of Mark. Verse 27, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." You see what's going on here. Jesus comes in, he's healing people, the Pharisees come and they say, "You're healing people, you're casting out devils by the power of the devil." And he said, that doesn't even make sense. How can Satan cast out Satan? A kingdom divided against itself can't stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And then he says, no man can go into a strong man's house except he first bind the strong man. Then he's going to spoil his house. We are on different sides. But I want to use this parable this morning. And I want to take this idea of a strong man and I want to apply it to your home, to your family, and I want you to think about this. If the devil's going to come in and he's going to spoil your home, he's going to enter your house, if he's going to mess with your family, he's got to do something first. The Bible says he's got to bind the strong man. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he'll first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. To spoil means to violently take away something that belongs to something else or to someone else. We use the word spoil in a couple different ways. We might see a kid that's whining and crying just to get what they want and say, "That's a spoiled kid." No, that's not this kind of spoil. In the refrigerator and smell something, go, "Whoa, something is spoiled." Well, that's not what we're talking about. To spoil means to go in and take something that belongs to somebody else. If there was a war, there'd be two sides fighting. Whichever side won the war, they would take the spoil of the war. That means they would take whatever the other team lost. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers type of a thing. Except back in the Bible, okay? That was spoiling. So the Bible says if somebody's going to come in and spoil this house, that means to go in and take something from the people that live there that doesn't belong to the person that's taking it. We would call it burglary, right? We would call, there's lots of other words for it. Wouldn't necessarily be robbery unless you threaten somebody. Now, if you go in and you tie somebody up and you take something, that's robbery. We understand that. We wouldn't usually say spoil. You wouldn't call 911 and say, "Ma'am, my house has just gotten spoiled." It's just a different word. So understand, he's saying no man's going to go in and take his goods, steal stuff from him, except he will first bind the strong man. payday in the Bible times wasn't on Friday. It was the day your army won the battle. And the same word would be used for someone breaking into a home and violently stealing his belongings. So what's the best protection for your family in this situation? It would be a well-armed strong man. And somebody that's in the home, we might call it a security guard, or dad, or mom. Somebody that's in the home that is prepared, that is ready to keep somebody from coming in and taking what is theirs. The Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he is the enemy in this message this morning. The best chance your children have of living a successful life is to have a strong man in your home. I know our culture has shifted. I know, let me give you just a couple facts. One out of every three children live in a home without a father. And I understand it wasn't always that way, but I understand things are shifting now, and that doesn't make it right. That's a fact. That's just where we are. And I'm not trying to be harsh to anybody here this morning, but you'd say, yeah, that's just where it's at. That's where we're at. I would say this. God created a man and a woman in the Garden of Eden. Didn't create a man and a child or a mom and a child. He created a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. And he said, this is going to be how we start. And then gave them a family. And that is God's plan. If we depart from God's plan, we find ourselves in troubles and heartaches and things. But that is God's plan. The best chance for your children living a successful life is to have a strong man in your home. God's design for the home puts the man in a position of responsibility and protection, not just authority. The message this morning is mostly going to be for husbands and dads this morning. But it's for everybody, and you'll see that here in just a moment. The husband and dad is supposed to be a strong man. If there's not the husband and dad, somebody needs to step into that position and be that strong man. You'll see that. But that's God's plan. The dad, the husband's responsible to guard the door and protect from the enemy. God's plan for a family includes a husband and a wife working together to bring glory to God in their home. Now, I'm not saying that's the way it always works out. I'm saying this is God's plan, and this is the way it's going to work best according to His plan. God's plan for raising children includes a dad and a mom working together to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't want anybody don't get upset at yourself this morning if this is not your situation. But I want you to look at it and say, so that's God's plan. And if I can do whatever I can do to make my family match God's plan, or I can guide my children and teach them so that when they begin a family, they can work to accomplish God's plan, you can have a great impact and you can see God do great works. How important is a godly dad? Let me read a passage for you from Malachi chapter 4. It's Malachi chapter 4, it's verses 5 and 6. He says this, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." He says, I want to come and turn kids' hearts towards dad and dad's hearts towards kids, because if I don't, I'm going to have to come and smite the earth with this curse. I want to challenge you, first of all, find God's plan. Go by God's plan. This is a challenging message to preach this morning, because as I preach this, I understand not everybody can do this that's here this morning. But if you can, if you have the opportunity as a husband and a wife, and you still have this opportunity to stay together, to keep a mom and keep a dad in your home, listen, it's worth the effort, it's worth the sacrifice. Just do it. God will bless that. At the same time, I understand I'm talking to some folks, you say, I can't, we're past that, it's too late for that. Understand this, I love this. God is the God of the second plan, the second chance, the plan B. It's just plan C, plan D. This is how God works, His mercy, His grace. He's just awesome that way. I'm glad that God didn't just say, Dave, you've got to do this, and if you don't get it right the first time, I'm done with you. Because I would have been done a long time ago. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. God is a God that says, look, you messed up, and listen, this is me every day, but I've got mercy. Here, let's just reroute this a little bit and get you to where you need to be. This message, if you're a dad here today, let me help you understand something. You are absolutely critical. Your family needs you. If you're in a family today and you say, we don't have dad in our home, you can make it. The principles in the Bible, God's mercy, God's grace, God can get you to where you need to be. And He, as a father to children, and as the protector, as the strong man in your home, God is what you need. God can get you to where you need to be. With that said, a strong man is so very important. Maybe it's dad, maybe in your case, it's just going to have to be you. A strong man, let me give you some thoughts about him real quick. A strong man needs to be alert. If you're the strong man for your home, you need to be alert. You need to be aware. You need to know that there's stuff going on. Realize that there's an enemy that wants to destroy your family. If you're the strong man for your home today, and you do not realize that there's an enemy out there that would love to destroy your marriage, destroy your family, destroy your kids, you're naive. You've got to understand, he is there. The Bible says the devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Not just that he's out there, he's actively looking to destroy your family, your kids, your relationships, and mine. He's seeking whom he may devour. A strong man has got to be alert. Realize there's an enemy that wants to destroy your family. The devil wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. The devil wants to destroy you. Don't fall for the lie that there is no enemy. There is an enemy. Now, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It ought not cause us to worry or fret, but we ought to be alert. See, we can't just go through this life. If I'm the strong man for my home, if you're the strong man for your home, I can't just go through this life thinking, well, everything's just going to work out fine. It always works out fine on the TV shows, right? It starts out good, then it goes bad, and within 30 or 40 minutes, everything turns out great. Unless it's a whole mini-series, then it may take a whole year for it to happen. But it happens pretty quick, and everything will turn out just fine. As long as, you know, as long as I'm kind and I go to work and I just do kind of the stuff that everybody expects me to do, everything will be fine. No. There's an enemy that wants to destroy you and destroy your family. A strong man needs to be alert. Keep the devil away from your family. A strong man needs to be ready. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, you're familiar with this passage. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. A strong man needs to be ready. That means keep your armor on. Keep your armor on. I got to do a ride-along yesterday with one of the deputies with our sheriff's department. I'm part of the Citizens Academy. It's about a 4-month academy, and they asked us to do 2 ride-alongs. So I went on one yesterday, and as I was riding with a deputy, he'd only been on his own for just a couple months, and he was just kind of explaining how the culture has changed towards law enforcement. And he said, it's really changed so that anywhere we go, there's a big target on our back. He said, we've got to keep our eyes out. We've got to keep looking around. If we get out for a traffic stop, and this is, he was just kind of talking to me in the car while we're driving, helping me to understand his job. He said, while I'm doing a traffic stop, I've got to keep looking. In fact, I might need to even call for backup so there's just somebody there, one of my fellow deputies, just to help keep an eye out because culture is changing because we've got a big target on our back. And I thought about that as he said that, and I said, yeah, and us too. You know, if you're the strong man for your family, you got a big target on your back. You're the law enforcer for your family, maybe. You're the security guard for your family. You are the one that is going to keep the devil out, keep the bad influences out. You're the one that's responsible for raising these young people to love God and serve God. The devil would love to take you out. You've got a target on your back. Maybe it's a spiritual one, maybe not quite like a cultural one, like the police officer was talking to me about yesterday. But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. A strong man needs to be ready. You've got to be ready. That means if you're the strong man for your home, you've got to spend time in the Bible. You've got to have a real live relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just coming to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Even if you come to church every time the doors are open, that's not what I'm talking about. That's good. I think you'll grow as a Christian. The more times you can hear the preaching of the Word of God and let the Word of God come into your heart and work in your heart, the more times that happens, the better, the more you'll grow. I absolutely believe that. But I'm talking about something more than that. I'm talking about you and God knowing each other. God knows you, but do you know Him? Have you spent time with Him? I mean, get into the Bible and read it and study it. Do you know what the devil's tactics are? The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. I think a lot of us are ignorant of his devices. God's not ignorant of it. God knows exactly what the devil's going to do to try to get into your home. And he's written down what we need to do right here in the Bible. But a lot of us, I think we are ignorant of his devices because we haven't put our armor on. We're not ready. If we will build a real live relationship with Jesus Christ, that relationship is stronger than the influences that are trying to get into our family. I really believe that's what we're talking about, putting on this armor. A strong man needs to be alert. You need to be aware that there's an enemy. A strong man needs to be ready. Put on the whole armor of God and ready to stand and fight in the evil. And then a strong man needs to be trained. Ephesians 6:16, the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You've got a weapon in here. Most of this armor of God, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, it's a helmet that's defensive. It's a breastplate. It's a loins girt about with truth, I believe. And the feet is the gospel of the preparation, the gospel of God, Christ. There's one weapon in all of that. As the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, I had this great opportunity. Some of you have done this before. Some of you, this is a way of life. You're military or whatever. I had a chance to shoot an AR-15 this last week for the first time. That was really cool. We went out and I shot a handgun. I shot a 9mm handgun. It was really cool. I put the GoPro on and videoed and it was cool. But then they said, hey, we got this AR-15. You want to try shooting it? Here was my thought. I don't even know what to touch on that thing. It was cool looking, but nobody had ever showed me how to use one. I held it and I thought, okay, I know what the trigger does, but that's all. Where does the clip go? What does this switch do? What does this switch do? Here's what happened. I had an opportunity to shoot it, and I did. I shot it. It was great. The recoil was just hardly anything. It was awesome. I thought the sound that it made whenever it shot was deafening. It was like the concussion that I felt in my head. It was like, oh, that is really cool. I had earplugs on. You feel it in your sinuses. Like, and I thought, with that much power, it's going to knock me over. But it didn't. It had a great spring system built into it. Here's what had to happen. The man that was there that owned the rifle had to say, look, this does this. This lever releases this. This lever loads it in. This lever chambers the round. After he took a couple minutes and showed me, then I felt comfortable with it. And I could take it. I could shoot it a bit. I could probably reload it. I couldn't take it apart and rebuild it. No. Some of you guys probably could. If we get a weapon, and somebody gives us a weapon for the first time and says, here, go use this. Most of us would look at it and say, how? I might be able to shoot one round off. How am I going to reload it? What am I going to do with this? But if somebody would take the time and you get the weapon and you get familiar with it, learn how to use it. I'm using weapons. Some of you are going to hate me for it, but it's just an illustration, okay? You get familiar with it. You know how to shoot it. You know what it feels like to pull the trigger. You know how to release the cartridge. You know how to reload the cartridge, put the cartridge back in. You know what it feels like to put it up against your shoulder. You know how to use it. You're familiar with it. You know you're going to be a whole lot more effective with it than if somebody just gave it to you and said, here, go fight the bad guys. One of the guys that was on the trip with us this last week, we shot shotguns, and they had the little clay pigeons that would fly off, and you're supposed to shoot them. One of the guys had never held a shotgun before. And it was kind of funny, kind of watching how he held it, just kind of like with his fingertips, kind of just because he wasn't quite sure, little scared about what it was going to do. But after a few times, he got it real nice and tight into his shoulder, and he was shooting those clay pigeons out of the sky. It just took getting a little bit familiar with it. A strong man needs to be alert. A strong man needs to be ready, and a strong man needs to be trained. How do you get trained? Well, coming to church is a great start. Getting in your Bible, studying it, learning it, discipleship program. What a great way to get trained. Some of our folks have gone through our discipleship program and once a week met with a mentor and go through the Bible and learn what the Bible says. Sunday school is a great way to get trained. Come to that 9:30 hour. It's more than just coming to church early and getting a donut and coffee. It's getting trained. It's learning how to handle the weapon. It's learning how to be the strong man. Learning how to fight for your family. You'll not be able to use the weapons God's given you when you need them most if you don't become familiar with them when everything's going great. Let me talk about prayer for a minute. If you never learn how to pray whenever it's not a disaster, you're not going to know how to pray when it is a disaster. We need to learn how to pray right now. We need to come to Wednesday night church. Come learn how to pray. If you're a lady, come and as the ladies meet right here in the front of the auditorium on Wednesday night and share some prayer requests and then pray. And learn how to pray and talk to God and listen to some of the other ladies as they pray. They talk to God and just learn. How do I pray? Men back in the kitchen will divide into three groups or four groups sometimes and just take turns praying. You know, a great way to learn how to pray is to pray with somebody else and listen to somebody pray. You might think, how do I pray? You know, how do I know what to say? How do I know how to talk to God? Well, have you ever heard somebody pray? Come just be part of that. It's training. Just on a regular basis, put some time in your schedule to read your Bible. That's training. Put some time in your schedule to pray. You might say, I don't know how to pray. I couldn't pray for 5 minutes. I'd run out of stuff to say. Well, pray for 5 minutes. And then I guarantee you, God will put something else on your heart and you'll learn how to pray. It's training. See, we have a lot of strong men in our families that we've never been trained. I don't know how to get a hold of God. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to teach my kids. What do I do when my kids come up to me and say, Dad, why? You fill in the blank there, but why? What do I tell them? If I don't know, how am I supposed to tell them? You can say, I don't know, I'll get the answer. But then go get the answer. What are we doing? We're training. We're learning. And I want to challenge you to be the strong man that is alert, the strong man that is ready, the strong man that is trained. A strong man needs to be present. This is so important. There's so many things that remove dads from being strong men from their families. Divorce will remove a dad from being a strong man. Absenteeism, that means he's there, I mean, really, but not in practicality. He's working or he's away or he's got hobbies or whatever it is, and it keeps him away from the family. We need dads who are going to be here. Busyness, distractions, a strong man. We need strong men in our families, and we need strong men who are here, who are present. If you're not there, you can't protect your family. So here's what Satan has done. He's not only bound the strong man, but in many homes, he's removed the strong man completely. How are we supposed to defend our families when Satan gets the strong man and removes him? He's just not there. I don't want you to hear the message this morning and think, well, then there's no hope. No, there is hope. Absolutely, there is hope. You be the strong man for your family. You say, Dad's not here. You be it. Maybe you're a single mom. You say, okay, I'll do it. I'll be the one who defends. I'll be the one who learns the Bible. I'll be the one who gets a hold of God. And I will be the one who trains my family to love God. I'll be that strong man. Maybe you're a teenager and dad's not there. You say, I'll be the strong man. I'll get to know God. I'll protect my family. I'll be ready. I will be the one who takes responsibility, and I will do everything I can to protect my family from the devil that wants to destroy it. You be that strong man. A strong man needs to be present. A strong man needs to be unbound. The way Jesus said it, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So many of us men, let me just talk to men for just a minute. You know you're supposed to be the strong man. You know you're supposed to be the one that is defending your home. Yes, God put you in authority, but he also put you there for protection. And you know this is your job. You know God has put you in this place. But we are so bound with so much stuff in our culture, in our life. Listen, men, if you're bound with sin, you can't protect your family. There's so much sin that this world will throw at you. The devil will come and bind you if he can so that he can get to your family. He wants to destroy your family. And if the devil can bind you up and wrap you up and push you over to the corner, then he's got full access to your kids and to your wife. How does he bind us? He binds us with anger. The devil will work. The world will work and get us so angry at people, angry at our wives, angry at our kids. We pull back and the devil will bind us with anger. The devil will bind us with addictions. There's so many addictions in this world, and then we get bound with them. We get tied up with them. There's so many, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever it is. These addictions, they tie us up, and now we are useless trying to defend, and we helplessly watch from the corner, bound by our addictions, while the devil comes in and destroys our family. It's happening so often. Do you realize that the divorce rate in churches is just as high as the divorce rate outside of churches, maybe even higher? Do you realize that statistics tell us that 70% of the kids that grow up in church leave church when they graduate from high school? What's happening? There's a strong man that's tied up in the corner because he's so wrapped up in himself and his own pleasures and his own addictions, and he is watching helplessly as the devil destroys his family. I want to challenge you this morning. If you're the strong man, the Bible says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You don't have to be bound. The devil binds us in anger and addictions, alcohol, adultery, pornography. The devil will use gambling to bind us. The devil will use bitterness or pride, whatever these sins are, and he'll use and he'll bind us so that we are helpless to defend our families. The devil will bind us not just with sins, but sometimes with distractions. These things are not wrong, but the devil, you know, he'll use something good like work to keep us away from our families sometimes. And yes, we need to work. And yes, we need to provide for our families. The Bible says, if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. I do not want to be that. But at the same time, I don't want to go so far overboard that I'm always working. I'm not defending my family. Work can be a distraction for a strong man. Hobbies can be a distraction for a strong man. You know, a lot of us get ourselves into these. They're not bad. They're actually kind of fun. And the world says you got to have a hobby. Pick a hobby. You got to have one. I'm not opposed to hobbies. I got some hobbies. I like playing freeze tag. It's one of my hobbies. With my kids, all right? I love it. Sometimes on Friday, it's our day off. It's my family day. We'll go to the park, and the whole family will play freeze tag. Okay, so it's a dumb hobby. But it's with my family, right? So it's coming back to where I can be the strong man there. Let me just challenge you. Don't let the hobbies take you away from being the strong man. It's okay to have a hobby. Build a remote control airplane. Let me fly it for you. That would be great. You only fly it once if you let me fly it for you, I promise. I do my best, but I promise I'd crash. Do something fun. Hey, how about this? If you can do a hobby, why don't you do it with somebody in your family? Instead of joining the bowling league and going somewhere else and spending time away from your family, why don't you do something with the family? Well, why? Because the devil wants to pull the strong man away from the family so he can get to the family. Just distractions. You know, the devil will use debt to keep you away from your family. As binding a strong man. There's so much pressure that comes with that. The devil and the world will use health to bind a strong man. Let's do what we can to try to, and this is not a health message, but try to keep ourselves healthy. Here's what we're trying to do. Let's keep ourselves in the place where we can best defend and help and be the strong man for our family. Dad, if it's you, be the strong man. Mom, if it has to be you, be that strong person for your family. Here's what's going to happen. The world will slowly and secretly weave a web around you so you lose your freedom to defend yourself and your family. And that's how it goes. It's slowly and secretly. The devil doesn't just come out and say, hey, you want to get wrapped up and lose your family? No. It's going to be one hand here, a little bit here, a little bit there. That's how addictions work. That's how adulterous affairs are going to work. That's how he's going to try to wrap you up so tight. But he's going to start slow. Slowly, 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 to the point where one day you're standing there in the corner, or I'm saying in the corner, but that's really not life. You're there, but you don't have any influence. You don't have any defense against what's wrong. Or he removes you completely. I want to challenge you this morning. Somebody needs to be the strong man for your family. Somebody needs to be the one that says, I will prepare, I will be alert, I will be ready, and I will be trained, and I will do everything I can to bring my family to God and protect them from the devil. Would that be you this morning? Would you be willing to let that be you? Father, thank you for letting us be able to spend some time this morning. I pray that this message convicts and challenges us. We know we're losing our families. The statistics tell us we're losing our families. We feel it. We know that there's an enemy that wants to destroy our families. Lord, this morning I pray that you would raise someone up from each family that say, I'll be the strong man. I'll be the strong woman. I will be the one who will make the sacrifice. I will say no to sin. I will refuse temptation. I will get to know God so that I can be the strong man for my family.